Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
Quick story for you. Here a couple of years ago, Ivy had to go into the ER. My wife, if you don't know. But Ivy had to go into the ER having stomach pain and so forth, and it was pretty severe. We didn't know what it was. We went in, and after about 5 hours, they'd ran a bunch of tests and this and that. We went home. They inconclusive. I'm not sure why she was having such problems. But anyhow, we went home, and a few weeks later, a letter arrived. One of those that says, "This is not a bill. But, you know, here's a summary of your charges. $10,000. $10,000 for 5 hours in the ER. And one of the things on there that caught my attention, and an MRI listed at $4,000, but because the insurance company was paying it, it was just $800. And our total bill out of $10,000 billed by the hospital, $144. My point being is either an MRI is $4,000 or it's $800. If you're telling me if I had gone in there and had been uninsured, I'd have paid $10,000 for that visit? I bring this to your attention because of price transparency. One of the things we're going to touch base with our next guest here, John Graham, a senior fellow for at the National Center of Policy Analysis. John, welcome to the program.
Good to be back on the show. Thank you.
Now, I want to talk about the ability to shop for insurance, but my wife having a $10,000 bill that we paid $144 for, because it's all nonsense, John. I mean, either an MRI costs $4,000 or it costs $800. It's not, I mean, it's five times as much if I don't have insurance? Come on.
No, it's ridiculous. And the hospitals know that uninsured people, when they get those bills, if they don't get cycled through an insurer, they don't pay those bills. You know, obviously not. And they may pay some fraction of it. But what the hospitals do with these bills is they take these absurdly inflated bills, they take them to various levels of government, you know, especially the state and federal government, and say, look at all the uncompensated care we gave. And so it helps them build their case for getting more government money.
Oh, so they're the good guy. I get you. So we spent, we didn't get $1 million in service that we provided to the community, and therefore we should get a break, and therefore we made a lot less money than it looks like.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And it also, the insurers, of course, are part of the problem. I mean, it's kind of these two parties, the hospitals and the insurers, are never going to solve the problem on their own, because the hospitals do what I just said. They go to the government and say, oh, look at all the uncompensated care we gave. And the insurers go around saying, oh, look at how great we are. We negotiate these great rates. You know, that's what we've done, is we've negotiated down. But as you pointed out, it's not a realistic price. And there's no other market where things are insured, where the world works like that. You know, if you crash your car, and you write off your car and the insurer gets a new car, it's not like they say, oh, a new Honda Civic costs $500,000 or something, but we managed to get it for $35,000. I mean, it's the typical American health system. Everybody works to make it more difficult for the individual patient to figure out what's going on.
Well, and we were just in the last segment here talking about the fact that, you know, with Obamacare, the way things are going right now, you've got Humana, Anthem, Aetna, United Health Group, and Blue Cross Blue Shield all saying, you know, they may not be involved with Obamacare at all come next year, because they're all losing their tails, because the Congressional Budget Office says only about half of the number of enrollees showed up as they predicted. I mean, which means those that are still involved are paying exorbitant rates for the same care, and people are just getting killed. Now, the insurance companies are getting killed financially. They're like, we can't have any part of this. We got to get out, which all leads us down the road, John, as you well know, to a single-payer, government-controlled system.
That's right. That was, I guess, the plan, right?
That was the plan. Everybody knows that.
That was what they were thinking about back in 2009, 2010, when they were conjuring this up. And, about almost one-third of the counties in the country will only have one insurer in the Obamacare exchange next year. And there's one county, Pinal County, Arizona, that has zero. So what is that? What is a program with zero participants?
Yeah, and it won't be the only county. There'll be other counties that show up. But I bring this to your attention. I've lost my health care twice. I've lost my health care twice as a result, direct result of Obamacare. I've been, you know, bounced around like a ping pong, a ping pong ball, just trying to keep up with insurance. And every time I go to my doctor, is your insurance the same? I'm like, no, we have to go through all the forms again and do everything over and over and over. And by the way, if you didn't notice, everybody, that whole thing about you can keep your doctor, that has quietly been removed from the website. That's gone, the whole part about you can keep your diet. That little line has disappeared from the government websites, if you didn't notice.
And the insurers only really kind of have themselves to blame. You know, they knew they would lose money, and they thought they'd be able to go back to Congress just for more and more taxpayer money. They thought the world that existed in 2010, before the November election in 2010, was going to persist, and they'd be able to come back and say, oh, we need more money. But then the congressional majority changed, and they weren't able to do that. So what people really got to look out for, I don't know what the insurer's game plan will be after the next election for how they're going to be looking for another bailout, but it's going to be expensive for the taxpayers. So whoever is in charge of Washington, D.C. next year, we're going to have to keep an eye on that, because insurers are definitely going to be coming back looking for more.
Well, sure they are. And if they won't have a Democratic majority in the House. I mean, that's almost impossible. But they might have an even split in the Senate, which would make it more possible. I don't know. I think it's ridiculous that we're getting into this position, because what's going to happen is the insurance companies made a deal with the devil, which the first rule of that is don't. Yeah. And they're going to destroy themselves as a result. Am I wrong?
That's right. And let's not overdramatize. I mean, the large employer based business is okay. I mean, if you look at Aetna as a business, or United, or they're okay as a business. As you pointed out, we've only got about 10 million people in the Obamacare exchanges. As a share of the population of the United States, it's not that big a deal. So they can kind of say in the boardroom of Aetna or United, well, okay, we lost that one, but we've still got a lot of other businesses that are working out okay. And the real victims are those people in the individual market whom Obamacare was supposed to help, quote unquote. And of course, as the reason there's only half as many people as they expected is the premiums are too high. So it's what they call the death spiral. And you've talked about that on your show. The people just say, look, why should I pay these premiums for something that is not a very good product? As I've lost my doctor. The hospital's not in network.
And it's not going to get better anytime soon, John. It's not going to get better anytime soon. That's the problem. But we'll continue the conversation sometime soon, because people have to know what's going on. John Graham, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's Tuesday. We'll be right back.